Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We're delighted to see you all. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and it is Thursday, July 3rd, 2025. Madeline and I are here in Northern California, and we're looking out over the lake and delighted to be able to join together for our first Thursday of the month meditation gathering. We call it a satsang, or just, which means a gathering of truth seekers. And thank you, Lisa, for helping out and being the co-host for this. And thank all of you for taking time out of, I know what is a very busy schedule that you all have, to be here to focus on the bigger picture and on the eternal dimension of consciousness, which is our true nature. It's so easy to get distracted and forget that we're more than meets the eye, as they say. So, all right. Well, what we'd like to do in the beginning is to just have a meditation together. So we're here in, like I say, at home, so we have the piano. And I'll go ahead and just invite everyone to become comfortable. It's probably a good idea to mute your microphones if they're not already muted. And let's turn our attention within, and I'll go ahead and do our meditation, and then we'll come back. Those of you who know the basic program that we have, it's pretty open. We just do a meditation in the beginning and then open it up for any questions or concerns or comments, focusing not on political stuff too much, but more on spiritual issues. Okay, so we'll go ahead and begin. Allowing ourselves now to relax into this present moment, we give thanks for all the blessings of this life, for this precious opportunity that we have to remember, to awaken, and to be a force for healing, for contributing to creating more kindness and compassion, in this world, for other human beings, for animals, for ecosystems, for the whole interconnected web of life. So we give thanks for the physical body that we have. This is our precious gift for these few decades. For the eyes, ears, all the senses, for our hands and arms and legs, all the organs, for our capacity to feel, to reason, to question, to explore, to create. Breathing, sharing the great gift of breathing with each other, breathing together and giving thanks for the whole web of life here, the beauty, the infinite variety, and how it is an expression of the infinite intelligence that is the source of our life, that flows through every aspect of our life, every aspect of our cosmos. May we awaken to this intelligence within us as our intelligence. Breathing and giving thanks for all the other human beings on this earth who are our allies in shining light. In building a world that reflects the truth of the infinite interconnectedness of all life. We give thanks for each other, for all our loved ones, for the whole interconnected web of activists and those who are awakening to the power of loving kindness, of discrimination and awareness, of inner wisdom. We give thanks for all of the teachers in our life, who have reflected back to us guidance and inspiration that comes from the very essence of our own consciousness. We give thanks for all of the teachings of all the wisdom traditions on planet Earth, helping to turn our minds away from the delusions of separateness and fear to the truth of the joy and freedom, the infinite interconnectedness of all expressions of life, all waves on a great ocean. Our true nature is the ocean, and there is never any wave separate from any other wave through the ocean. We give thanks knowing that the light that shines at the heart of the universe is shining in our heart, is shining in our mind, bringing every thought and awareness into harmony with our purpose, the purpose for this lifetime. There is a reason we are here. Bringing harmony into all of our affairs, bringing them into alignment with the great realization that there is one life living through all expressions. And we allow this realization to penetrate the very essence of our being, knowing that the more we bless others, the more we are blessed. The more that we free others, the freer we become. The more we love, the more we feel loved. And we especially hold the beings we refer to as animals in our consciousness. May they be free from human interference. May they be free from suffering and all the causes of suffering. And so we join together in consciousness now to consciously connect with our true home and to radiate this awareness into our world for the benefit of all beings of the past, present, and future. We begin with the awareness of loving kindness and benevolence and goodwill. With every inhalation, we engender this feeling of love and kindness, filling our heart with love, and with every exhalation, radiating love and kindness in all directions to all living beings, excluding no one, equally sending love to all expressions of life, like the sun, radiating love to all living beings, abiding in our true home of love. With every inhalation, now we engender in our heart the feeling and the awareness of compassion, the great yearning to help relieve the suffering of others through our body, speech, and mind. So with every exhalation, we radiate compassion in all directions to all living beings. May they be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May we every day learn to be more wise and effective and compassionate in every thought, word, and deed for the benefit of all living beings, abiding in our true home of compassion, breathing and radiating compassion. And with every inhalation, now we engender in our heart the truth of our essential nature, joy. The joy that is inherent at the very core of our being, the joy of being. And with every exhalation, we allow this feeling and this awareness of joy to overflow from our heart, blessing all living beings, helping to establish them in their true home of joy that needs no reasons, a abiding in our true home of joy. And finally, now we enter into the fourth dimension of our true nature, which is peace and harmony. And with every exhalation, we allow this inner peace to radiate from our heart in ever-expanding spheres of light, blessing all beings in all directions with the truth of peace and harmony, we see the whole earth now bathed in the light of peace and the truth that beyond and within all appearances, there is the great peace, always. It is our true nature and the true nature of all expressions of life. Abiding in our true home, abiding in love, abiding in compassion, abiding in joy, abiding in peace, breathing and radiating the fragrance and the awareness of love, compassion, joy, and peace as a living prayer of our aspiration to be of service to the great unfoldment of consciousness, to the divine love that is the source of all life, the source of our life. So as we close our meditation, we give thanks for this precious opportunity to remember that what we are was never born and will never die. We are eternal consciousness, as all beings are. We are here to awaken, discover, and realize we continue working together to build a more enlightened society that reflects the truth of being. We give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Thank you, everyone, for joining us and the whole interconnected web of life that makes all this possible. There's literally countless beings that are contributing to our ability to join together like this and to share ideas and thoughts and feelings and music. I'm just thinking right now of this fantastic piano that we refer to as Yuma, based on the wonderful Japanese owner of the San Jose Peninsula Yamaha dealership way back in 1993, I guess it was, 92. And I don't know, we searched the entire Bay Area with our digital recording and to find the perfect piano. We finally found it. And I just wonder who it was that made this piano in Japan, and how somebody said there's an old man that every once in a while goes around the factory in Japan and puts a lot of love into one piano, and I think we got that one. 'Cause it's amazing how it's like I travel around the whole country in the world, and I don't think I've ever found a piano as good as this one, and it's right in our living room. And it doesn't go out of tune. It's like the last time it was tuned was about 4 years ago, and it's still stays in tune. So yeah, it's wonderful. It's too bad you can't hear it live. It gets through, I guess, on the recording a little bit. But anyway, we're so blessed, I think, in more than we realize, all of us. And it's I think really helpful to cultivate this attitude of awareness of the many ways that we are loved and supported, not only by other human beings, but by the whole web of life, the source of all life. And to realize that this lifetime that we have on planet Earth is pretty brief, so to use every opportunity as best we can to shine the light of loving kindness and compassion to each other and question anything that gets in the way of that. And I think we have a lot of that going on in the world right now, a lot of fear about each other, about diseases, about climate, about AI, technology. I think there's a lot to be concerned about, actually, especially when it comes to technology and its misuse. So the underlying idea, though, I think, is that each one of us has within our immediate grasp an incredible technology of consciousness that we have barely even begun to scratch the surface of. And we run around outside trying to invent electronic doodads and gizmos to try to communicate with each other or to try to save time or make our life easier or more comfortable. And we ignore the very amazing capacities that we have to have joy and freedom and peace and abundance of communication and harmony and love among us. So that's not an accident. I think there's, as we know, there's a lot more money in fear and disease and war than there is in harmony and peace, at least the way things are construed right now. But the good news is each one of us, we don't need to make excuses. We can come back, take time every day to come back to our consciousness during the day, during the night, all the time, right? We have 24 hours, and no one at this point can take that away from us, right? We have that capacity to imbue the time that we have on Earth with as much awareness and consciousness as we can, and to do the best we can to learn. Actually, I would say also do the best we can to, even more importantly, to unlearn. We got to unlearn, you know, it's like there's not enough time to unlearn everything. People say, I don't have enough time to learn. And I say, you don't have enough time to unlearn. Almost everything, I think, that we think is true, that's probably not. So one of the greatest things is to unlearn. So I just wanted to emphasize those things. So basically, we have, you know, it's just us here. We have, for those of you who are new, we have our third Thursday, which is closed. It's only for people who are in the World Peace Diet training or have gone through it at some point. But this one is open, and so we do have some new faces, which is always great. And so it's open, but it's us. And so I'm happy to just open up the floor. If anybody has a question, comment, concern, I can talk on here about the things I think are important, but I'd also like to hear what you folks think is important. So, Gino, so good to see you again. We missed you. Glad you're back. So tell me what's on your heart.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a beautiful meditation and introduction to today's meeting. And in the spirit of some of the things you've said today, I just wanted to speak on a personal level, but that overlaps a lot into harmony among animal rights activists and others as well. And so my birthday is coming up on July 17th, and I will be 75, which is remarkable. And, of course, you see all of these stories and everything and saying that, well, the average lifespan of a human is 76. And, oh, I got one more year of life. Thank you so much. Yeah, I don't buy it. No way. But, you know, I said, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to die, but I think I would like to reflect more in life about things and my experiences and the people that I've known and have contributed to me and others. And, it was about 3 days ago, on Facebook, I put two pictures up. One was of Wayne Chung, and then the other was Diane Gandhi Zorbi, both of whom, of course, I worked with in DXC up in San Francisco. And, of course, we know a lot about Wayne, and Diane was this very shy woman who blossomed into this persistent, powerful activist. She was in her 60s. And unfortunately, she passed about 5 years ago. We were all very sad, and her husband too. So, but then I said things about her, but then I talked about Wayne as well. And you know, when I was first starting with DXC and Wayne would give his speeches and lectures, I swore I was listening to Martin Luther King because he's so powerful in the way he speaks and the passion that he has. And I thought, gosh, this guy's the Martin Luther King of the animal movement. So I did that, and I just wanted to appreciate those people. And then about 2 days later, I posted something else, and I had four people featured in that. And one of them was Wayne, who I said again some things about and hearkened to my other posts for people to look at. Another person was my friend Dave Jardina, who is an animal rights activist, writer, performer, all kinds of things that I met. And this was about 12 years ago. And he turned me on to veganism, and we became fast friends. And I see him too on occasion. We are very much in alignment. He's, you know, very much down on the whole pandemic and all of that. You know, very up on things. He's even written books about germ theory and so forth. But and then there was a picture of my ex of 13 years and fast friend of 44 years, who passed in April, and that was a large loss for me, but he was a very well-regarded, warm, talented entertainer here in San Diego for many years, and people really loved him. And he made a huge difference in my life in terms of giving me balance and care. At that time in life, I was very, full of issues. It was my 30s. And then the last person, but not least, was Will Tuttle. So I put you in there, Will, and I met you not long, really, after I became vegan, and your book, The World Peace Diet, made such a huge impact on my life. I read it several times. I took your course, and I did it in a flash because I was so excited. I wanted to know as much as I could so I could tell people everything when they asked questions. And then, of course, I would see you periodically over the years in San Francisco and now in San Diego. And it's always a pleasure to see you in person. So, and I alluded to, you four were among, many people that I've known in my life that made an impact. And I think we've all had that experience, most of us anyway, or maybe all of us. And that it's great to just take stock in these people that have done such beautiful things for us in life. And as far as the animal rights people, including you, just to allude to the fact that, we all need to get along. And I don't care what the approach is to your animal rights work. As long as it's not violent, it all has value. And really everybody still sets themselves up in different camps and says, we're the best, you know, and don't join them. They're terrible. And I heard this story about them and all this, right? All that goes on. It still does. And, you know, I kind of removed myself from all of that. I said, I'm not participating in that because you know what? I'm just here for the animals. All of the human quibbling is not of interest to me. So, yeah, it's that kind of time of life for me to really look at things. So, anyway, thank you, Will, for being you and being in my life.
Mm. Thanks, Gino. Yeah, you're 75 years old, I think. That's the, what do we call it, the tri-quadricentennial, something is a name for it, three quarters of a century of reach. That's the
oh, that makes me feel good.
Right. And getting better every day. So, no, thanks. And I think it's a beautiful thing, you know, to do the kind of exercise you did to really think about and maybe even articulate people who have been blessing in your life, teachers. Sometimes teachers, I have to say, are really obviously a blessing. Some teachers, I think, we think they were not very nice to us, but they taught us a lesson that maybe we needed to learn, you know, when we were younger or whatever. So teachers take all kinds of forms. But I think in many ways, sometimes they're adversaries. You know, they push us beyond where we would have been, and we don't like it at the time. But then later we see that it was really helpful. But I agree. There's this basic feeling of gratitude. I sure have it for the teachers that I or the people that have blessed me in my life. I'm so grateful to my parents, for one thing. Of course, my wonderful wife, Madeline. And so many of you that I'm looking at, Judy, and I mean, all of you, you're just such such a fantastic thing. You know, and we were at the Unity Church in Oroville on Sunday, and I mentioned this idea. I've mentioned it here before also, that all of the great teachers and teachings of all the world's traditions emphasize one truth that they emphasize besides the golden rule and karma, or as we sow, so shall we reap, the idea of right association, that the people that we are associating ourselves with, we tend to become like them, for better or for worse. And so one of the best things we can do to build a positive vibration on planet Earth and for ourselves as well, is to do our best to build communities of kindness and caring and respect, that we're teaming up together to bring out the best in each other, to do our own inner work, but also to find each other, right? To find the spiritual family or the spiritual community that resonates at a level where we feel like we're learning, we're being blessed, and we're also contributing. And this in the Buddhist tradition is referred to as the Sangha or the community. And the whole idea is that it's essential. It's really without – the Buddha actually said, you know, the three jewels, according to the Buddhist tradition, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, the enlightened nature, the teachings that help us to awaken to our enlightened nature, and the community of people who are dedicated to that. And the Buddha said without the Sangha, there will be no Buddha and no Dharma. You know, that basic idea that – the community is really the foundation in many ways, not only of bringing the teachings that are so precious, because without these spiritual teachings, what would our world be like? I mean, if it was just taken over by mainstream media and there wasn't anything to counteract that, I mean, it's a total hell realm. Really, the delusions and lies and fear and so forth that are spewing constantly. So the teachings and then the reality of the inner enlightened nature that we all have, that we can awaken that really it's the community is so precious. So anything we can do to help support our community, and one of the greatest ways we can do it, of course, is to do our own inner work. And then from that authentic foundation, we can do things like you did, like post things and share and co-create communities. And what we found, I'll just say this one other thing, we've been very public and just continue, even through COVID, you know, before COVID and continuing on, just doing lots of events, right? We usually do anywhere from 100 to 200 events a year. So we're traveling around the United States and all over the world before, but now the United States, in Canada a little bit. And so we're really, like, in a way, tuned in to the groups and also somewhat at the mercy of the groups in the sense that, you know, they're the ones that set up the events, or they say, no, you can't come here because we don't like your stand on COVID or whatever. So so we're very aware of how these dynamics play out. I mean, not very aware, but we're somewhat aware anyway. There's probably a lot more to it. And we're going through a challenging time. You know, I have to say, the vegan movement is going through a challenging time. The divisiveness is in our entire society. And so the more we can do things like you're doing, I think, with what you, that example, to just show appreciation for those, especially some that are embattled, like Wayne Hsiung. He's got a lot of detractors. They don't like him. They think he did this and that. To just really say, you know, for me, it was fantastic. He was inspirational, and build each other up, you know, help to create a positive narrative in our community. I think it's very helpful. It's easy to be critical of other people, but in the long run, like you're saying, the more we can support each other, build each other up, and try to do the best we can in our own lives to be an example of what veganism is, rather than telling other people how they should do it. I really agree with you. If there's 1,000 vegan activists, there should be 1,000 there's 1,000 ways of doing it, right? Each one of us has our own unique consciousness and way of bringing the message, our unique gifts, and to tell our own story, I think, is one of the most powerful ways. So thanks for sharing that. Let's see. We have Judy and Tammy. Go ahead, Judy. Please, you have your hand up. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Will. And along the same lines that Gina's talking about, I wanted to mention that we lost a really special activist in Gracia Faye Elwood. She died about a month ago, and her husband died just a week after she did. And I attended the memorial, which was last Sunday, and it was, a Zoom, for me anyway. There were probably 30 or 40 people there in person, but it was just so wonderful, and I learned more about both of them than I knew before. But for anybody who doesn't know who they were, Gracia Faye did the Peaceable Table newsletter for years, and it was a Quaker journal, but it was applicable to everybody. And she did an amazing job of talking about different heroes in the vegan world that went way back. I mean, hundreds of years. And so to go to the Peaceable Table online, you can read those different stories, and they're just amazing. And then, of course, she had lots of other things, too, in each one, and she usually wrote an essay herself. But it's a terrible loss for us, for sure. But as we know, we come and go. And when it's our time, we go on. And but it's so important to appreciate those people who have gone on, what they have done for the movement. But I also wanted to mention that at the Vegan Convergence of the People at the end of the month, the last weekend of the month, which is Silas Rouse thing, Lisa Levinson and I are going to present the Homo Ahimsa Award to Victoria Moran and her husband, William Melton. And it's going to be very upbeat and a great appreciation of all the wonderful work that they have done. And so that's another example, like Gina's talking about. So I just wanted to mention those things.
I have to raise my hand.
That's great. Yeah. Thanks. You know, it's, I have to say, you know, I knew Gracia Faye and Robert quite well. Madeline and I both did. And if you go to our page, which I link to every time I send out an email, where we started this World Peace Diet Circle back in 2011. And so every since from 2011 all the way until she stopped, which is probably 2022 maybe, every month I always put her Peaceable Table in as part of our resources and encourage everyone to read it, because every month it was a treasure trove of jewels of animal activism and so forth. And so we got to know them pretty well. They lived in Southern California, and they lived for quite a while in Ojai at this special place, actually, the Esoteric School. And it was based on the Theosophical Society's teachings. And her husband, Robert, was a very well-known writer, scholar, author of many books, and a priest in the Liberal Catholic Church, which is a theosophical, spiritual, organized religion, I guess you could basically say. And we got to be pretty close friends with them, and they eventually left there to be closer to their children and grandchildren who lived in Southern California, and more in the L.A. area. But it's interesting because they were so in harmony. And I remember I was actually in a kind of a closed, very sort of small spiritual group with Robert right up until about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago. And he left for health reasons. And Grace Chaffee, you know, she would sometimes be, you know, in the background, and she was having her health challenges. But it was such an amazing thing how she passed away, and then he just passed away like right after that, like a week later. And he looked like he was going to go on for, you know, a few more years at least. I mean, he was, you know, seemed to be doing pretty well. But I think, you know, it was so interesting because the Theosophical Society and their teachings are really focusing on the idea that you, when you leave this body, you go on to the next experience, and you're working on your understanding. And she was always fascinated. She couldn't wait to find out what happens when you die. You know, she was really looking forward to to the adventure. And I guess they both were. So, yeah, they were great inspirations. They did a lot of work. They went on the vegan cruise a couple of years. We were there with them, so, and lots of different things. So over the years, we got to know them pretty well. But I think, and then a few weeks ago, we talked about John Robbins, the fact that he passed, and we just went on and on about that, so I won't cover that. But we've had quite a few, you know, people are leaving the planet here. And I think it's good to remember the transiency of our lives. And transiency is what really gives it beauty, our lives' beauty. And so thanks for reminding us about that. And it's good to take a moment and thank both of them. I mean, Robert was a strong voice for veganism, too. He was on the same page. They both were. She did it in her way. He did it in his way. He was a faculty professor. He was a professor at the University of Southern California for like 40 years. And touched a lot of people, too. So, all right. So, anyway, thank you. I think I addressed everything. Tammy, you were going to say something? I think you had your hand up.
Yeah, this beautiful satsang, you know, just sangha. Just thinking and appreciating people. And I have this dear friend, his name's Sean Edwards, and he studied with Gabriel with me for the last 11 years. I met him at the Tree of Life. And he is such a man of, such a being of embodying the teachings. And he's been the assistant for the Her Talks for about 4 years now. And they just released the last key. I don't know if you're familiar with the Keys of Enoch, but that's the work of Dr. J.J. Hertak and Desiree. And he just got in a really bad motor vehicle accident and broke C1, C2 vertebrae and other things. And so if we could just hold him in our prayers, I would really appreciate that. He would really appreciate that. Yeah, and it's beautiful to just be in appreciation. So thank you for that. Thank you for that reminder. You know, I'm really good at the people close to me, but sometimes I feel I don't have enough time to be working with the grandmothers, to be able to formulate International Calf and Cow Mother's Day. I'm still working full time. And it doesn't take much to send off, you know, letters and words of appreciation. You know, it's really impactful. So, yeah, it's a beautiful reminder and to appreciate, you know, all the beings across the veil that are working with us as well. You know, they never, you know, I really got to feel that after my son and father died, because I was very, probably the closest people I've ever been with that, you know, crossed over. And I felt such a deep, a different kind of connection that was almost deeper in some ways. So, you know, my dad would love herons, and right after he died, there was this heron on the shore and followed me everywhere. And then when I drove away from this lake, he actually flew beside the car for a while until the car disappeared around the corner. And, you know, just to be aware of, you know, all the messages that we're getting, that there's, you know, there's so much more than this. And I think it's really beautiful when I hear stories of sacred union and people saying, yeah, well, if you're going, I'm going too. Right. You know, I'm going to join you on the other side. I think that's really beautiful. And the place in Ojai you're talking about, Will, that's the first time I got to meet you in person. So you were doing a workshop there. So that was really special for me. It was really beautiful to go there and receive those teachings for those 4 days or whatever it was, you and Madeline. So thank you.
Right. That's and right. Yeah, you were there.
Being there. I'm grateful for everyone.
Yeah. Right, yeah, it was called the Crotona Institute. Well, that's neat. Thank you. Thanks so much, Tammy. And we'll send our prayers to John Edwards for sure right now. Let's just take a moment and send him our love and know the truth that what he is can never be damaged. He's an eternal spirit, perfect being. And that understanding, so it is. Thanks.
So it is. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And Judy, you know what? I mean, could you just quickly tell that story that you told us about the guy who had a car accident, and then people prayed and he could see? You know that story? Oh, it was a woman, maybe. It was a woman.
No, it was. I don't think that was me.
Yeah, it was you. Oh, you don't remember? Okay, I can tell the story. You told us this story. Yeah. Yeah, there was a car accident, and I guess it was a woman. You want to tell it, Madeline? Madeline was there when you told us, and you told us to us twice.
And she remembered, she memorized the car number.
Oh, that story. Yeah, I know that story.
Can you tell me
again? Yes. Yes, well, the woman... it was a near-death experience, so she was out of her body. Mm-hmm. And so she went to the woman way back in the line. Lots of cars were backed up because of this accident. And so most of the people were complaining and whining, but this one woman was praying for her. So she, out of body, went and memorized the license plate number. And so then
she could see like this. She could see like this loving prayers coming out of this car.
Right.
She was like, oh, that's so nice. So thank you. And she went over there and she could see the woman praying for her. And so she memorized the license plate number. She came back into her body and she looked it up and she went and thanked the woman in the car who was praying for her. And the woman remembered it. I mean, it's such a
amazing thing. Yeah. Yeah, that story just amazes me so much whenever I think of it. And so whenever I pray for anybody, I know it's working. It's doing something. It's not like you're just wishing. Yeah. It's a real thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
Our thoughts really have a reality. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, to remember that our thoughts have a reality, and we touch each other with our thoughts, especially thoughts with a feeling. And the more, whatever it is, the more pure it is, the more power it has. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say anything more? You're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, so we have a couple more minutes before we close, I think. Thanks, sweetheart. Yeah. Anyone else have a comment or question or thought you'd like to share in the into the group before we go, or any concerns that we might have. There was one thing I maybe we're kind of touching on a little bit, and I can maybe say a few words about that. Andy had asked me about. So since you're here, Andy, I'll go ahead. I'll say a few words. There's you know, as part of this, we're really kind of touching that right now. The teaching of the intermediate state, which is referred to in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition as the Bardo. And there's been quite a bit of, I've noticed it on the internet, and some people that I know also talk about it sometimes, that there's, you know, there's this concern, I guess, that there are entities, maybe interdimensional beings or whatever they are. All religions do recognize the existence of non-physical beings, right? Sometimes they call them angels and demons and all kinds and of these. All the traditions do recognize that. So the idea is that some people are concerned that, you know, we have, you know, on the earth, we have this situation where there's kind of like a battle going on between the forces of light and dark. Those of us who are trying to liberate animals and humanity and so forth, and there's other forces that seem bent on causing more division, suffering, domination, exploitation, slavery. And so some people say that these entities feed on fear and aggression and violence, and so they do whatever they can to cause suffering and various forms of abuse to animals and human beings, to children and so forth. And they're causing that to happen. And so what some people are saying is that when you die, you know, there's quite this whole literature about what happens when you die and the near-death experience. And people very often, they'll have a life review. They'll see there'll be a tunnel of light or a tunnel. You go through the tunnel, you come out at the light at the end. There'll be beings there that welcome you and you tell you this and that, you know, how you did. And anyways, there's lots of literature on this. I've read quite a few books on it over the years. And so what people are saying is that, some people are saying anyway, is be careful. That might be a trick. Maybe these beings, the light tunnel, you know, the tunnel and the light and these beings, they're part of the same matrix that they're making on Earth to keep recycling you and sending you back be a slave again on Earth. And so avoid that, you know, try to get out of it. And then, of course, the question is, well, how do you do that? How do you avoid that? And so people who are talking about this say, well, the way to do it is you've got to meditate. You've got to get really strong within yourself. You've got to be conscious and aware so that you don't get fooled again, right? And so, you know, the question is, you know, is this true, or how does, you know, what, when we die, do we have, can we go to the light, or we have to not go to the light, and so forth. And I talk about this, actually. I didn't really intend to do it exactly, but in the new book, World Peace Way, I have a section near, toward the end in the chapter on creativity about the Bardo, the intermediate state between lives. And basically, this is ancient wisdom. I mean, this is actually going pretty much along with what ancient teachings have said for hundreds or thousands of years, that when we leave this body, we have a moment. We have a moment where the clear light shines. And we will only recognize it for what it is, as our true nature, if we have lived our life consciously and mindfully with awareness and compassion and wisdom. So we have to. So the whole idea is that you're cultivating your consciousness through day after day after day during the physical human life for this moment, for this very moment, because that's it. When you leave the body, you get this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where the clear light manifests. And if you recognize the clear light and as your true nature, then you're free. You will not be sucked into what is referred to as samsara, which is this endless cycle of births. But 99.999999% of people have not done enough inner work, and so they see that the clear light manifests, and they avert their gaze, they look away, it's like too much. And so when that happens, then immediately another light comes. And there's six different ones, six different colors, right? And so it goes through, I won't go into the whole thing, but the first light, I think it's a beautiful blue light. And so if you're attracted to that, you'll end up eventually incarnating in a deva realm, a very beautiful realm of like an angelic realm of joy and peace and harmony. But all these realms are temporary. And so that's if you have really good karma, you've done a lot of loving things, you could end up in that. But and then otherwise you might have a green light, a green tinge light, and that's for the Asura realm, which is another high realm, but it's not as high as the Deva realm. The Asuras are competitive and strong, and they just love challenges and things. And so you could end up there. The third light is for the human realm, so if you come back as a human being, those are the three upper realms. If you've been more not as aware, this is the Buddhist, the fourth realm, the three lower realms, the fourth realm is the animal realm, so you could be reborn as an animal, which, you know, there's a wide range, but the whole idea is it's harder to attain enlightenment, they say, as an animal, because you can't really read or meditate or whatever and get the teachings as easily. And then the fifth and the sixth are pretty bad. It's the hungry ghost realm where you're always hungry and you can't get enough. You're always, for people who really are very greedy and attached to things. And then the lowest realm is the hell realms. And that's for people who have just really caused a lot of suffering to others on purpose. But the idea is all of these are temporary. And so once you go through it, then you're born, then you go into the bardo again, and you can awaken if you see the clear light. If not, then you go into another realm. So the whole idea basically is it's up to us, right? It's up to us. And I think personally it's perhaps literal, but it's more, I think, also metaphorical. The whole idea is that we're consciousness, we're eternal consciousness. We're trapped in the delusion that we think we're this physical body, that we're a corporeal thing. And that when we die, you know, we're dead, or and we're always trying to get what we want, keep away what we don't want in the struggle, and with others doing the same thing, right? So the whole idea is to awaken out of that during this life, and then we can actually attain a much higher level of enlightenment. And then we can come back as what they refer to in the Buddhist tradition as a bodhisattva, someone who chooses to incarnate on planet Earth to bless others, just to be a light, to shine in our light of kindness and caring and compassion for others. So the whole idea is that you know, underlying everything is the primacy of consciousness. The more we cultivate our consciousness and realize that what we are is not a finite object that was born and will die, but we are the infinite light that makes this possible. That's the only place that liberation happens. Dying does not bring liberation. There's an old saying in Zen, if you die before you die, then when you die, you won't die. So the whole idea is what this delusion of being a separate self and all of the emotional attachments that come from that and aversions, that's really the obstacle. And so letting that die and living our life as best we can as an expression of kindness and caring for others is the way to liberation. So I think these teachings are kind of mixed up and people are somewhat confused, but it still comes back to the same thing that we're talking about always, which is compassion for animals and humans, questioning official narratives, and doing the best we can to have a meditation practice where we can directly experience our consciousness not under the burden of continually jumping from thought to thought and feeling to feeling and circling around this idea of a self and what I want and so forth. That's really what what our mind does. So to escape that, that's the samsaric cycle really, is the continual thinking that keeps us enmeshed and feeling separate from others and from the world, and to realize we are the space within which all of this is arising. And the more we can taste that, get a glimpse of that, just every, the good thing is like just every day, just make a little progress. Every day, do something to move in that direction. Just the journey of 1,000 miles just takes one step after another. Just every day, do something to bring the mind back to the present moment, to be kind and loving, to question official stories. And the more we do that, the more we free ourselves for the great change that where we have the possibility. But whatever happens, I think the good thing is that when we live our lives with loving kindness and caring, we are guaranteeing that the future rebirths we have will be harmonious, that they'll be for the benefit of ourselves and others. We're planting seeds. That's the key, is just keep planting seeds. And whatever seeds we plant, we'll experience. And we help that in others as well. There's one life living through us all. That's the main thing. So I can see we've kind of used up our time. Anybody else have something? We should probably wrap it up here. But Madeline's reminding me it's time. So is that good, everybody? Any last minute thing?
That was such a beautiful teaching. Thank you.
Who's that? I can't even tell, but you're welcome. Oh, April, yes, April. Thank you, Aradhana, yeah. Thank you. Thank you all so much for contributing. Thank you, Andy, for the question. And thank you so much, Gino and Judy and Tammy and everybody for joining us and speaking up. And we'd like to close with our – and thank you, Keith, for joining us from so far away. I really appreciate your joining us. Thanks. So let's go ahead and say our prayer for – that we say the circle of compassion that we say every day at noon. And it starts with the words compassion in circles. So let's say that together. You can unmute your microphones. It's a good time to unmute. And we can say it together, a divine cacophony. Here we go. Compassion circles the earth, all beings everywhere. One more time with feeling. Compassion circles the earth, all beings everywhere. Bless you all. Thank you so much. We love and appreciate you. And
thank you, everyone.
To see you next time. All right.
Thank you.
Bye,
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Again, much love.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Thank you. Lots of love.
Thank you.
Love.